Hi, y'all. You're listening to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things with me, your host, Melissa Radke, the ordinariest of us all. This week's podcast episode is brought to you by Home Chef, who, by the way, I did a Facebook Live for the other night. Did y'all see that? And I had my kids in it. My kids were in the kitchen cooking Home Chef with me. And Home Chef was fine with it, so clearly these people are good sports. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things. I am your hostess, Melissa Radke. Listen, I'm just going to jump right into what I want to say here. I am so freaking nervous about this podcast episode because it's the one with David and I. I say the one, like there's going to be several. And here's the thing. We did this podcast episode together at the end of season one, and it's called Road Trippin'. So if you've not listened to all the other episodes, it doesn't matter. This isn't a murder mystery that you have to, that you have to follow along. So if you're like, oh, I didn't hear Road Trippin'. Do I need to hear that before I listen to this one? No, I just listened to my point. My point I'm trying to make is that last season we were on a book tour. And it was time for the podcast to come out, and we didn't have anybody for me to interview because I was out on the road. So David suggested that we just record he and I together just chatting on the road. And it turned out to be road tripping is what we called it. I hated that episode. I absolutely 100% hated it. I thought it turned out terrible and that people were going to be like, what a waste of airspace that this has been. People loved that episode because it was just David and I being David and I, like talking about fast food before we pulled through the line and got it, just fighting on the road, David's driving, you name it. And they loved that episode. So we decided, okay, well, then we would just do it for season two. Or is this season two or three? Oh, my mercies. It's season three. So was Road Tripping, David, was it season one or two? It would have been season two.
It was two.
Okay. Anyway, we decided that we were going to do some episodes sporadically throughout season three. This is the first one of just David and I talking. But I'm a nervous wreck about it. And I don't know why, because I talk to you all the time. I even talk to you now live Monday through Friday on social media. We go live. We do a live on Facebook and Instagram or IGTV Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. There you and I sit, not having a clue what we're going to talk about. And we seem to do fine on that every single morning. But you and I are just such different people. And I never know how one of these things is going to turn out. So I'm kind of nervous about it. And I wish that you guys that are in your car right now or on your treadmill or waiting in the school pickup line, I wish you could see what this moment looks like for David and I. Let me ask you this, Dave. Do you notice anything about this moment just between you and I? If there could be a snapshot of this moment, what are the differences in you and I, even right now, in this space, recording this episode?
Well, I came prepared. I have a drink in case my mouth gets dry.
Let me stop you right there. You didn't just come prepared. You came prepared with two drinks.
Well, I hadn't finished my coffee yet. I'm dressed for the day.
Like literally a button-down shirt. Literally.
I thought I might have to, you know, kind of pull out some intelligent quotes and comments. So I have my glasses on instead of contacts.
I don't know what that has to do with you pulling out intelligent quotes out of your brain, but okay.
I also have on my studio headphones so I can hear what's being recorded and make sure all the levels are good and all that kind of good stuff. Then on the other side,
across the table,
Melissa is in a big comfy sweatshirt.
Over what? Say it. You don't want to say it, but say it.
What do you mean?
What is it over?
Over your pajamas? Or?
You don't want to tell people that I'm sitting here in pajamas.
You have no beverage.
Because if I get thirsty, I'll ask you to go get me something. Or I'll just drink yours.
You are just kind of flying by the seat of your pants, and we're just going to see how it goes.
That's exactly right. Literally, in this moment, we cannot be any more different, David and I. Like I have on cozy socks, because it's gotten cold outside, but only like 71 degrees. It's not even freezing. I have on cozy socks. I still have my nightgown on with an Astros sweatshirt over it. I have my nightgown on, David, just so you know, first of all, I'm not lazy. It's not like I don't know that the day is here and we need to prepare for it. But somebody might call me and want to do something fun. And then I will have dressed all like serious for work when in fact I need to put on like some joggers and a windbreaker. You don't know what's coming up is what I'm saying.
But do you think it'll be anything that requires you to stay in your pajamas?
I'm hoping to God. I'm hoping that every opportunity I get today.
And just so you know, I also have on socks, but I also have on my Vineyard Vine Sperry's.
Oh my gosh, David, you are literally wearing like nice shoes and everything. And there's a chance we won't see anybody in the real world today.
But see, I'll see myself.
Oh!
And so when I see myself, I have to present myself in a respectable manner.
I don't at all. Even every morning at 9 a.m. when we go live on social media, David will inevitably at about 8:45 say, "We're going live in 15 minutes. Are you okay with looking like that?" That's what he'll say. Are you okay with looking like that? And I think sometimes that he would be so sad, truly internally sad, to hear me say, "I'd be fine looking like this." But I get up and I brush my hair anyway because I don't want to embarrass him. But I would be fine. I mean, if even we videoed this, which sometimes we've thought about videoing our conversations, our podcast interviews, and then that way people can either listen to them or watch them, I'd be totally fine with this.
As long as it's shot from the waist up, because 90% of the time you're pantless.
100% true. But David, do you realize we have people listening to this who have been interviewed perhaps over Skype? And now know that when we spoke, I wasn't wearing pants. These are things you shouldn't say.
Well, they just saw your pretty smile and your face and all
that. I know. They weren't as intrigued as you were from everything from the waist down.
Why do you think I sit in on all the podcast recordings?
You're an idiot.
By the way, listeners, in our home, idiot is a term of endearment.
It so absolutely
don't
is a term.
Don't feel offended for me.
There's no possible way that anybody who is listening to this and has listened to us for any amount of time doesn't already know that about. If I call you an idiot, if I ever meet you and I call you an idiot, you just need to know you are in. You are in. It is love. I love you. That is a term of endearment in our house. But I've been nervous about doing this, babe, because this August we celebrated 25 years of marriage by, I think we went to a matinee and Logan's Roadhouse. Not that I'm upset about it. Not that I'm upset about it.
And not that we, on our 24th, went to Maui and renewed our vows and all that kind of stuff.
That was actually on our 23rd, which I feel bad saying to you, but it was 23rd, so it was 2 years ago. And I feel like sometimes men want to take something that happened really wonderful, and they want to be able to use that for 4 to 5 years of coverage, and it can't. There was not a five-year warranty on that trip, David. It happened 2 years ago. That's a long time ago.
But it was so impactful that I think it should.
To your wallet. Just finish
well,
the sentence.
Yeah, let's just be honest. You know, you wanted to go to Italy or Scotland or some grand thing. And, you know, our dang kids have this habit of wanting to eat. And it just gets in the way of all those kind of trips that we were
I know. Attending. There's a sentence you didn't need to say. I know that. And by the way, babe, my dream vacations, Italy would be definitely in the top five. But it's not in the top two. The fact that you don't even know.
I said Scotland. You've told me numerous times it's Scotland.
And Scotland. And where's the other one?
Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scotland and Ireland, which I'm not great at geography. They may be the same place. I'm not entirely sure, but that's where I want to go.
Is that because when my beard grows out, it turns red?
Yeah, you have brown hair on top and you have a red beard. You're like a Celtic Jesus. due to a budgetary confines and work, we did not get to celebrate our 25th anniversary in the grand way that I would have liked to have celebrated it.
But I want to be an example for people that money doesn't define our love. So I feel like we would have just been walking into that trap.
But doesn't
if we, it? If we would have done
but what
something.
What if one of us really wants it to define our love?
Then one of us is going to be very sad.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was a good example, that 25th wedding anniversary, of what I have been scared, David, to bring on to the show, which is this mundaneness of our marriage. But it's so normal. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, is this really what people want to hear? Or do they want to hear from couples who have figured it out? Because we haven't figured it out. Do they want to hear from couples who have made their first million and they can tell you what it feels like? Because we haven't. Are we even close?
Well, we've made our first million over 25 years.
Okay.
And we don't currently have any of it. We've made it.
We've made it and we've lost it.
We just can't hang on.
That's exactly right.
But you know what? We don't have it all together, but you're not throwing lit candles at my head anymore. So we're making progress.
Okay. I'll address that. But I thought for a split second you were going to go, we don't have it all together, but together we have it all. And I was going to say, get out.
I'm cheesy, but not that cheesy.
Get out. Don't you dare speak to me in romantic cliches. Now, I'm not throwing lit candles at your head anymore. So we've certainly made some progress. By the way, listener, that was the first year of marriage. It was tumultuous. There's your word for the day. It was tumultuous. I did
it was
throw
passion.
A lit you candle know, wax went all over our apartment. I also threw a flat edged cookie sheet that when I threw it, it went, how did it go? Towards his neck. Oh, I wanted to take his head right
okay,
off.
So here's the thing, kind of talking about some of the podcasts you've had this season. So we had a podcast with Beth and Jeff McCord a couple of weeks ago about the Enneagram, and we're really diving into their couple study, Becoming Us is the book, and they have an online course. And what we found out is that I'm a 3 in the Enneagram, you're a 7, which those two together can be...
When they're healthy.
When they're healthy, they can be quite dynamic, and they can just, you know, draw people to them. I think that that's why we literally have tens of people watching us every morning.
David and Melissa Radke showing up for tens of people every day.
I think on the unhealthy side,
it's bad.
3s and 7s can be bad together. And we spent 7 or 8 years of our marriage in that.
Absolutely. I actually said a couple of minutes ago, you don't have to go back and listen to Road Tripping from season 2 to get a clearer picture of who David and I are, though it wouldn't hurt. However, I do want to talk about the Enneagram for a minute. What are you doing, babe? Stop swaying like that. I feel like I'm sitting here with Stevie Wonder.
Thank you.
I do want to talk about the Enneagram for a minute. And so if you don't know what the Enneagram is, if you're just tuning in today, I actually would suggest that you stop and go back 2 weeks. So last week was Kavanaugh James. Love him. Love him. And the week before was Beth and Jeff McCord. That one was called Ennea Your Business. I try to come up with really clever titles.
You'll get it one day.
You're an idiot. Ennea Your Business. Take a listen to that one, because inevitably we discuss the Enneagram and people still say, but I don't understand what it is. So go listen to it. They did an incredible job of discussing what the Enneagram is. Then Beth and Jeff sent us a big box with their book that's going to be released this month. May have just been released, actually.
It's called
Becoming Us, with some coffee cups in it that say, you're my type and I know my type. It's so cute. But David and I have learned what our Enneagram numbers are, and you want to get into that? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you sure? Because in this book, Becoming Us, which is in front of me right now, I looked up a 3, and I feel sad that you have to live
with
your
a 7.
Life. No. I feel sad that you have to live your life this way, babe, and I want to make it easier and better for you.
It's funny, because we have been married 25 years. And, you know, we've been through a lot of things in our marriage as far as, you know, just difficult times in our marriage and loss and finances and infertility and all this kind of stuff. And so we have walked down a lot of different paths, I guess, with counseling and, you know, if it's books or courses or retreats or those kind of things.
We've done them all.
Yeah. You know, those kind of things, if you buy a book, but if you go take a course or even go spend a lot of money on a retreat, you know, if you get one little nugget out of it, it's so valuable. So we've definitely had those through the years, but just something kind of struck with the Enneagram. I know they talked about it kind of being your internal GPS of looking at, okay, this is how I'm wired. This is who I am. But then really showing, okay, these are my core desires. These are my core fears. This is how I look when I'm unhealthy. This is how I look when I'm healthy. So really, personally, you look at that and go, wow, that makes a lot of sense. But then also they stress that it's important to kind of at least know the other ones. And then obviously, if like you're a 7, for me to really know that as well, it's just very eye opening. And what you were kind of inferring to, even after 25 years, you read something where I'm never off. I never turn the switch off. I'm always thinking and trying.
You're always turned on, is what you're saying.
I'm always turned on. So you look and read that. And it's even something I read and go, you know, that is right. I've never thought about that, that I always feel like I'm on, not performing in a way like you're a performer. But just, you know, personality relationships.
We were actually talking with some friends the other night, and I made this comment. David, you know that this is true of us. We were talking about our children, because our children are growing up. Now, our oldest is only 13, but theirs are getting older and into adulthood. And we're talking about future son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and all this. I said, it just makes me happy. I'm just going to look at the glasses half full that I can help Remy someday when she's married, because there's literally nothing literally nothing that Remy and her future spouse can go through that you and I have not already gone through. Nothing. Would you agree with that? With the exception of drug addiction. I mean, really, though, I don't laugh because that drug addiction is, haha, wasn't that comical? I laugh because,
that's one of the few things we haven't. Yeah. I would say a good 90%. With every day, different things happening and things coming on with technology and this, that, and the other, there's always a chance, but we have the vast majority.
I was going to say, but if anybody's listening and they're like, oh, but I bet they haven't dealt with this.
We probably have.
Yeah, we have. And we have dealt with so many things, and could we have corrected them? Could we not have gone down those paths that we chose that were so grievous to each other, that hurt each other so deeply? Had we known about the Enneagram first? Maybe. But what I think is funny now, but also really sad, is that there's this section in the book where it's like, you know what? You're a type three, the successful achiever. And then it's like there's sections where it'll talk about the three when they're healthy and when they're unhealthy, and some of the things that come out in them when they're unhealthy. And I'll read it, and then I'll be reading it to David. I'll be like, David, that is totally you in 2005. David, remember when you did that in 2011? I mean, like, we can literally pick out, you know, you're the same. You can read mine when I'm unhealthy and go, oh my gosh, Melissa, see, this completely explains why you were acting that way 2 months ago. But one of the things that I thought we could just kind of touch on a little bit today is that I began this podcast season with talking about my emotional health and how I was, and kind of had been hit face first with some depression issues that had kind of come out of the, I shouldn't say come out of the blue for me. I mean, I can battle with depression here and there, but this one in particular, man, took me under big time. And you went with me to my counseling session so that you could really hear me talk about what was ailing me or how I felt, which I thought was so beautiful of you to do. I thought that was really kind for you to do. We live about 45 minutes away from my counselor. You took the time to drive me over there, sit through, listen, only spoke when she asked you questions or when I asked you questions. You even said, I'm not here to learn how to fix this for her, but just hear where she's coming from. And as a seven, that really helped me a lot. But as a three, you are a three. I was shocked you did that because you are the successful achiever. Therefore, you want to fix and you feel the need to excel at everything. That is true of what your number is. Am I right?
Yes.
Absolutely. So when I break down a little bit, when I start going under the current, when I'm getting pulled down in the deep end, you have a need to not only lift me out of it instantly, but dry me off, get my hair blown out, get me in some really great clothes, slap a smile on your face, make it happen. Let's go. Because that is in your nature to make the whole world think that you're okay.
Yeah. And I think there's two sides to that. I think there's one side just as a loving and compassionate husband, not wanting to see you hurting or not wanting to see you kind of spiral down further and kind of help you up or whatever the case is. But then there is absolutely, I would say it's probably subconscious, but there is absolutely the other side of my number that goes, I want to look like I have it all together. I want to look like everything's good and clean and sharp and everything. And obviously you're part of a reflection of that. So there's absolutely some of that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. And in case you guys, listen, I'm not kidding you. I really cannot recommend this book enough. Again, in our show notes, we'll have it linked. And the book is called Becoming Us. And if you have a marriage where you love your spouse dearly, you just can't get on the same page and you don't know why, or you feel like there are breakdowns in certain area, whenever we hit this spot, we just tend to break down. I'm serious, you guys. This is a very, very valuable book. We get nothing. We get no blowback. What do you call that?
Kickback.
What's blowback?
We get no blowback. That's kind of a negative connotation.
We get no kickback from how many books they sell at all. Okay. We don't get free merch from them. If you buy 50 books off of this episode, we get a free t-shirt. Nothing like that. I just know that this is imperative stuff. I'm coming to you as someone who's been married for 25 years, wishing that I had had this around year one.
Okay. Let me ask you this before you dive into that. But would you also feel like you just got to spend a girls' weekend with some college girlfriends? Do you also feel that it can be applied to other relationships.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So not just becoming us as a married couple, but even somebody that is singled or widow or whatever the case is, that their relationship with their friends or their siblings or their mother or father.
Yes,
or whatever.
David, that's actually a really, really great point. I'm glad you made it. I want to tell you why.
That's because I have my glasses on.
Yes, you do, baby. And because your shirt is buttoned down and you're adorable in it. I have someone in my life that I have been close to the majority of my life. But the last couple of years, I have distanced myself from that person because I could not figure that friendship out. It didn't fit me. And I couldn't figure out why. Nothing had happened in that relationship. There had been no turning point. There had been no moment where we got in an argument and it couldn't get solved. Nothing. It just felt better when I was away from them. As sad as that sounds, I just did better. I felt better. And I know it left them wondering what they had done. They had not done anything. The truth of the matter was they didn't come screaming for me either with their arms out. Maybe they missed me a little bit, but they weren't tracking me down, hunting me down, trying to find me. And I wonder if it's because they felt the exact same way. Like, why can't we enjoy each other's company more? Why is it sometimes turned to this? Why does it sometimes get hard? And then I found out their number. And it explained so much to me about them. And when I found out that number, Dave, a part of me felt really sad that I hadn't known this sooner. First of all, I believe that friendship is completely and utterly okay. And there's nothing to even repair. Like, there wasn't a breakdown in it. It's just an understanding now. I understand now why they act the way they do. This is their internal dialogue within them. As Beth McCord said on that podcast, it's their internal GPS. They don't do these things to be harsh or to be critical. This is how they communicate. And when I understand them better and can communicate with her better, I really think that this friendship can resuscitate is the best word. So heck yeah. On that weekend with my college girlfriends, we all wanted to know each other's numbers. And it helped us.
Were they both familiar with the
Enneagram? Absolutely, they were. Yeah.
They better have been, because if not, they hadn't been listening to the podcast.
That's exactly right. One of them was a 7. So clearly her and I spun like a top the entire time. Just let's just go have fun, you know? I think the theme song for a 7 is the old Eddie Murphy song from the 80s. Remember, Eddie Murphy put out one song. My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. Thanks, David. With that beatbox effect. That was Eddie Murphy singing that song. And that's a 7's theme song. But the other one was a 2. So whenever we really wanted to go deep with a conversation and we wanted somebody to support us and love us no matter what we said, we're like, Casey, lean in. We're going to need your supportive advisor or whatever. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that about friendships. I think it's another reason why this book is so good and why I think that there's a friendship in my life that I can find a nice balance with now that I couldn't before.
And I think it just gives us more compassion.
That's a great way to put it.
As much as we strive, as much as we try to live life right or correct, we all can use more compassion. Okay, we'll check off Mother Teresa or somebody like that. But I think to me, reading those, you find more compassion in others.
Well, a perfect example, like I'm not going to say what her number is, because if I say what her number is, then that person is for sure to know who I'm talking about. And I don't want to make anybody feel isolated or feel weird. But one of the things it said is, when that number tries to give you advice, a lot of times you will take it as if they're being critical of you. They're not. That's just their delivery. Like, they're really giving advice to you because they truly believe you can scale any mountain, you can cross any sea. They really believe that you can do whatever you put your mind to. They're really big believers in relationships, but it comes across as critical. And when I was like, oh my gosh, this person has always really encouraged me. If I could just look past the way they kind of deliver it.
So not only do you have compassion for how they're wired.
You almost find an appreciation.
You look at how you're wired and go, I'm hearing that as a 7, but that's not how the 11 is presenting it.
There's not an 11.
Exactly.
Oh, you're trying to be coy. I feel your pain. I do. I feel your pain. I fix chicken and rice casserole. I fix tacos. And I fix this thing called $1 million spaghetti. Like, we literally have it every single week. I know you're sick of cooking the same things. But with Home Chef, you don't have to. 18 different options, you guys. 18 different options that you have to choose from. And maybe you want to make it easy. You want just something that you can throw in the oven in under 5 minutes. They've got that too. Maybe you're like, you're going to eat light this week, so I just want to do a salad. They've got actual entree salads. You can add chicken to them if you want, or fish to them. I'm telling you, we have done this for years. We have used Home Chef for our own personal use for years. We have never regretted it, not one time. You can use my promo code, MelissaR80, by going to homechef.com and getting $80 off your first four meals. That's $80 off your first four meals simply by typing in MelissaR80. I'm telling you, we use Home Chef all the time, and I have never regretted it once. Neither will you. David, you are a type three, the successful achiever, and I feel very sad for you because you you have a deep fear of failure. You struggle with the belief that you must excel at everything. In fact, you're burdened to appear confident and successful and impressive, and you live under constant pressure to measure your worth by external achievement and successful image.
I've not prepped you on this. I just want to see if you know. Our entire marriage, what word have I told you is like the most offensive or insulting word to me? If someone says it about me.
Oh, I know it without even thinking about it. You hate, loathe, and despise the word average.
Oh, I can't stand it.
And it hurts me because I wish that you could see the way I see you. But unfortunately, I'm a 7. And therefore, I don't tell you a lot of the times the way that I see you. I don't talk about it very much because you should just know I love you. Now, come on, let's go.
You talk great behind my back.
I do. I really do, actually. But as a man in your mid-40s, a believer, a lover of God, devoted to your wife and family, how do you make sense of this? How do you stay healthy?
Well, I would say the true health has probably come even in the last couple of years, to be real honest. I'm not saying I've been extremely unhealthy the entire time. But
you don't want to say it, or you want me to say it?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
There's definitely been times when it's all unhealthy, and there's been other times where there's
sprinklings of health.
Sprinkled, like Greg is sprinkled.
Nobody gets that reference, David.
So
a sprinkling of Greg? Did anybody watch the session? Oh my gosh.
We probably shouldn't admit that we watched that. So there's been sprinklings where I've had little things, but I think I'm in a pretty healthy place. Not perfect by any means, but a pretty healthy place. And so just even the kind of rest that comes in that, you know, there's these good qualities of wanting to succeed and not wanting to settle for average. So there's a lot of great qualities. Some of the greatest leaders we've ever had are threes, but then also resting in the fact that, you know, that's not necessarily my worth on how this project goes or how this result is of what I've worked on or those kind of things. That's not where my true worth or value or identity comes from.
I'm not kidding you, David. When we first really heard about the Enneagram and began to take the test and kind of see what our numbers were, and you discovered that you were a 3, I felt like I visibly saw this weight come off of your shoulders because it explained who you were, why you felt the way you felt a lot of the times, and that was normal and it was okay because finally we had an answer for it. It's like somebody who has an illness, right? And you don't have an answer for it and nobody can explain it. I'm not saying that your personality is an illness, David. I'm saying I'm a 7, and it's the same way with me.
But again, all the numbers have a healthy kind of version of themselves and an unhealthy version. And there was even some freedom of that, of even, you know, past mistakes or things I would do differently. And looking in that and going, you know, I was in a real unhealthy place. That doesn't absolve you of responsibility or, you know, we plant seeds and those seeds have to come to fruition, you know, if our path or whatever has changed. But I think it just helps us identify going, it makes more sense why that happened, where
absolutely
that came from.
We're going to get to my 7 in a second, and we're not going to just sit here and talk about threes for the next 30 minutes, trust me. But one of the things about this book that I love is when you find out what your number is, a lot of times you want to go immediately there when you get a book. Let's go to my number and see what they say. And they've skipped over nothing. So they've got what the 3 is, how to understand the 3, the perspectives of the 3, the motivations, the fears, the desires, the longings, the weaknesses of the 3. The 3 is a child. The 3's stress and growth paths. How the 3 can live aligned or out of alignment. I mean, it's full of information for you and for your spouse or your loved one or your friendship. But David, they have a section in here called the 3 as a child. Now, I got to ask you if this is true. Tell me the truth. It says the childhood message. So this would be the message that you grew up as a child, maybe not even hearing from a parent, but hearing within your own head, was it's not okay for you to have your own feelings and identity. Is that true?
Maybe subconsciously. I don't identify just
because you had a happy childhood.
Yeah, I had a good childhood.
But you also you also have told the story many times to our kids about how you had to dress a certain way and you would pack clothes in your school bag. And when you got to school, you'd go to the bathroom and you'd change your clothes because your family wanted you to look a certain way and you didn't want to look that way.
Right. That's where I think probably some of it was subconscious. And of course, that's a very external what you're talking about there. My father was a pastor. And so, yeah, there were some of those things that I maybe hadn't fully identified with at that age. So, yeah, it was kind of put upon me. But, yeah, it's not something that I guess really jumps out to me, but I can see that it's probably in there somewhere.
And then one of the things that it says about your childhood, which you just made the point that the word average, just you hate that word. It says to you, second place was losing, and that was unacceptable.
Absolutely. Second place is the first loser. Absolutely.
Like, dear Lord, you're okay, babe.
Absolutely.
That kind of took a turn. You know, for the Olympians that are listening who won the silver, that's hurtful.
And, you know, it's not even in necessarily the way we were raised. That's not where the numbers come from because, and you've laughed often that my mother thinks that I've never done any wrong. It's not in that I didn't have like overbearing parents or they expected the first place. It was something the way I was designed, the way I was, if anything, they parented me that you'd go, how in the heck did you?
That's what I think is so cool about this. This is an internal thing put into us at the moment that we are created. I mean, this is truly from the creator. This is not about how you're upbringing shaped you or formed you. This is what was put into you at the moment that God formed you in your mother's womb. That's another reason why I love the Enneagram and it so points back to our foundation in Christ. That said, we began this conversation with the fact that I started off the season really discouraged and dealing with some depression. And if you look at what a seven is known as the entertaining optimist. I know y'all are shocked by that. They're playful, they're excitable, they're versatile, they're scattered, they're escapists. We are joyful, enthusiastic, and social person, and we radiate optimism. We are a lover of variety, and we live life big. And that is true of me in every sense of the word. However, our fear is that we will be deprived of something. We will be trapped in emotional pain. We will be limited or bored, or we will miss out on something fun. I mean, FOMO is like my middle name. And our longing, and this is where it all comes full circle for me. Our core longing is that we will be taken care of. And that, for whatever reason, was missing for me for the last probably 6 months. And it's going to sound like that is an assault on my husband. And it is not. David is the best father, husband, friend that I could ever ask for. It was something else. I felt like the ground was shaking beneath me and I would not be safe. I didn't know what was next for my career. I didn't know what was next for a book. I didn't know about some of the emotional health issues in my family. And I just felt like my world was rocked and I need my world to be stable, because if I'm going to spin like a top and have a really, really great time in my life, I need everybody to remain calm and solid.
If you're going to be scattered and you're going to be bouncing off the walls, those around you need to be responsible to take care of.
Absolutely. Care of you. And David, what you're saying, and you're laughing and it sounds ridiculous, but it's so true. And nothing seemed settled for me and I didn't feel safe. And sometimes I would even say to you, I just want to lay here right beside you. And of course, you know, you were always like, well, scoot over. I can't get to my phone. But I'm sorry. I felt like we needed that moment of levity. No, actually, I would say, David, I just want to lay here beside you. And you would say, well, come on, because you're a cuddler and I'm not at all. But
I might have had to ask Rocco to move.
Yes, that's true. I think that's where it came from. Am I going to be okay? I just want to know that I'm going to be okay. And it went really, really deep for me. And I got really blue by
it. Well, you know, you kind of mentioned this earlier, alluded to this, that we have some podcasts coming up that talk about mental health, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. We also have some coming up on addiction.
I think we're getting better as a society or whatever. But I still think we have a long way to go when we talk about mental health, because I think there really should be two very clear terms. There's mental illness, and then there's mental health. And just like everyone should be healthy, we think about our bodies. All exercise a little bit. We should all watch what we eat. We should have regular checkups.
Be able to breathe, right?
You know, those kind of things. We need to be healthy. We don't go, well, I don't have any health issues. Yeah, every single person needs to be aware of their health. And I think it's the same way for mental health. Every single person needs to be aware of their mental health. Now, there are people that have anything from a cold to cancer to horrific things, and they have an illness in their physical health. The same way with mental illness, there are people that have a true illness in that, and that's a little bit different. But I think all of us need to have a better awareness of
our Are you talking about like
health.
In what way? Just to kind of know what triggers us, or is that what you mean? Or like when I just said a little while ago, like I can go through little swings here and there, seasons of depression, but this one really kind of like, are you saying that like be aware?
I would say be aware, because I wouldn't personally see myself as somebody that just rides the roller coaster of emotion. I mean,
I wouldn't.
Not that I can't have seasons of highs and seasons of lows, but I stay pretty in the middle or whatever. But anybody else in between that do have constant highs or constant low, all of us need to be aware of, well, how did that make me feel? Or how did that make me think? Or why did I respond that way? Or why do you think they said that? And just kind of be able to process that and really think about how we are in our mental health. How are we feeling? How are we processing?
But don't you think that this right here, I'm holding the book up, listener. I'm holding the book up and shaking it at David. I mean, don't you think this is the kind of knowledge that would help us? It would make us more aware of why we're doing what we're doing, why we're feeling what we're feeling?
I think it's absolutely. And that's kind of what I'm thinking, that it's just something probably the majority of your listeners are going, well, I don't really feel like I've ever dealt with the mental illness, or kind of felt blue, but I don't know if I've had a depression.
Right.
You know, I'm not this, that, or whatever the case is. But we all need to be aware of that. And so I think something like the Enneagram studies that are out there and books like Becoming Us, or there's another great one, The Road Back to You. I think it just is for us to be aware, because we read those things about ourselves, or we stop and process and ask ourselves these questions. We look and go, that's why I did that. That's why I responded that
right.
way. That's why that, you know, I know triggers are a big buzzword.
It's
or whatever,
a buzzword. But, yeah, for sure.
But why did I respond that way? And so just being aware of that, I think we can be better fathers and husbands and brothers and employees or employers, you know, just neighbors, if we have more awareness of what that is. And I think in doing that, I think not only having that kind of freedom, and just like we talk about, hey, you need to have this in your diet and you need to exercise like this, it's a given and everybody talks about it and everybody knows, kind of having that, hey, we all need to be aware of our mental health. And then I think that will open the door to people that truly do have maybe a more mental illness type thing, that they're also open and comfortable to talk and communicate and find the help they need as well.
Okay. That was long. It took for a long time. I mean, you didn't make that fun. Like, none of that was fun.
I should have worn my contacts.
What in the world? I know. I mean, it was a good answer, but you got to make your answers more concise and also more fun for me. I mean, it was painful to listen to.
Go ahead with your college credit. Like your college credit, send your emails.
That's exactly right. Every time David would teach Sunday school, the people in our Sunday school, we taught on young married couples class, and they'd be like, we just felt like we were going to 3 college credits. David, I love you, but you have to talk more fun and more up. You're talking like bringing me down.
Hey, let's get our mental health. What's up?
I don't want to talk about mental health. We are in no way prepared with degrees to talk about mental health.
Hey, thanks for listening today to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things with Melissa Radke. Hey, y'all, have y'all checked out the show notes? We spend a lot of time putting those show notes together. They've got lots of great info and great things to tweet and share. It also covers all kind of stuff from our guest, all kind of links, all that kind of cool stuff. So go check out the show notes. Also, have you subscribed, or have you subscribed and it stopped downloading because you haven't listened in a while? Go restart those downloads if you've subscribed and hadn't been getting them. Subscribe if you haven't before, and we promise you'll be glad you did. And if you haven't already, leave a review. Go in there, leave an honest review. Click the button you feel best represents this podcast.
Did you just tell me to leave an honest review?
Yeah, an honest review.
No, absolutely not.
We don't want an honest review?
Absolutely not. Just tell them to click 5 stars and don't say a word. And then say, but if you do want to say anything, make sure it's glowing, even if you don't feel that way. Because feelings follow actions. Tell them that.
Okay. So if you do, what was that again? If you do feel.
Just, they hurt me. They hurt me. That's enough.
Okay.
You know what, David? We have a couple more of these coming up. We actually have a really good rest of the season. We are going to talk about addiction. We are going to talk about addiction in the family. We're going to talk about divorce. We've got a really great season coming up, but sporadically you and I are going to be on here talking, and I am okay with it. I'm not quite as nervous about it now that I've done it for the first time. Are you? This sounds like our honeymoon night.
No.
You're not nervous about it at all. You're like, Melissa, my Lord, you and I can sit and talk for 45 minutes. What are you looking at? You have something to share here? What? You pulled out your phone right in the middle of our discussion. What is it you want to talk about?
I was going to go back and look at previous podcast episodes.
Why?
Just if I wanted to reference them.
David, don't be a nerd.
Oh, that ship has sailed.
Hey, I'm going to end with three questions that I ask everybody.
Let's cut that out. That didn't.
Why?
Do you think that goes well? I was going to try to really see if there was something that we should have hit on, but.
I'm not going to cut anything out. That was a thing, David, you and I discussed. I mean, other than I cleared my throat a lot and coughed because I have a cold, the team had to edit that out. But other than that, no, we're not editing anything out. If we fight, we fight. And I think that what you just did was a real nerd move, and I'm going to call you out on it. You pulled out your phone in order to reference some things.
We've already had a lot of great podcasts this season. You were talking about the future ones coming. We've already had a lot of great ones. So
we've had incredible ones. This has actually been a really good season for us.
If you haven't listened to them, go and listen to them.
But I mean, honestly, we're about to touch on some really, I mean, we're about to talk to someone who lost everything in a fire. We're about to talk about childhood cancer. We're about to talk about divorce. I mean, we're about to go to some places in these next several podcasts, and I'm excited about it. And that's why interspersed will be you and I doing absolutely nothing but charming the pants off of people. Boom. And we're back to me not wearing pants. See, David, that's how you keep a podcast fun.
That's how you roll.
That's how you do it. And I want to end with this. I say this every week, but I'm going to end our podcast this way. Our 25th came and left, and we did celebrate it at Logan's. And it killed me because I'm a 7 and I wanted to have fun. And I wanted you to fly me to Scotland or Ireland. Didn't matter. They're both the same thing. And we didn't, because you keep us on a budget and you keep my feet tied to the ground. And sometimes I think that that's really boring. But the fact that I've been married to you for 25 years and we've made it work, come hell or high water, come heartache and pain, it reminds me that miracles are all around us. We just get so used to seeing them, we call them ordinary things. I love you, David Bond. Till next time.